Hello, this is Mike Harbath here with the Shoot the Moon podcast at Revenue Rocket for today, July 9th, 2020. Today we're going to talk about the art of the possible as it relates to virtualization or being virtual or working on the other side of a video conference. I'm going to bring in Ryan Barnett, the all-around smart guy here at Revenue Rocket and VP of research and outreach. And he and I are going to talk a little bit about our experience in kind of running the business and doing business virtually, because we've had a work from anywhere policy here for at least the last 15 years, as well as our what we've done as it relates to some of the things around some of the work we do with our clients in that virtual work. Ryan?
Hey, Mike. Hey, thanks for having us on today. You know, one of the things that was just blew my mind when we joined the firm was that you had mentioned we do almost everything virtually, and that it was just I kind of took it with a grain of salt, but then started to look at just how virtual things became. And when we looked back at 2019, every single deal we did virtually, and we did not meet face to face at all. So it was really a moment in which we realized that we could go from origination all the way through deal close and have everyone in completely separate areas of the country and world. And the virtual deal was something could actually get done. So I'd love to just ask you some questions. You know, how have you did it? Why did you start doing it? What kind of tools you've got in the trade of doing things virtually? What people should be looking for if they're trying to go out about an acquisition process, either on the buy side or sell side, and do it virtually and go from there. So with that, I'd just love to hear, you know, what made you think that you could start to do a deal without physically meeting anyone?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And I think maybe we'll even wind the clock back a little further, because really all the work that we did in 2019, and it's been that way for a number of years, has been done remote. And when I say virtually, it really just means remote, that we're on the other end of a video conference. And there's very few face-to-face meetings that have occurred with many of our clients over the years, but particularly the constituents in an M&A transaction on that side of our business. I would say most of the advisory work we do on growth strategy is also done remote, and has been done that way for many years. And part of how that occurred was, when I first started the business, you know, really in 2002, we had to kind of fly around the country and, you know, do it the old fashioned way. And what was immediately apparent to me was that, if we were going to grow the business to where we wanted to grow it, that was going to be a rate limiting factor. And actually in the beginning, we started by putting staff, and some bricks and mortar in different cities around the country. And we had five offices around the U.S. Some of those were virtual offices, but we had offices around the country, and we ended up having staff that was spread around the country. And through that work and through the work with the clients in those markets, we quickly learned that it was pretty common for us to have staff that were working on projects that weren't in their own city. And they were doing the lion's share of that work remotely. Yeah, they would fly in and we'd have face-to-face meetings, but more and more of that work, just as we got busier and busier, was aligned to who was available from a utilization perspective and not where they were physically located. And so we pretty quickly transitioned the business to one that was remote in its thinking and began to think of it and operate it and market it much more as a global practice. And that's how we operate today. That's how we predominantly operated for 15 years and how, you know, we figured out how to navigate, all of that, in support of doing, you know, very complex, types of, you know, management consulting and merger and acquisition projects all remote as well.
Yeah, interesting. Was there something that you needed to do differently to work with clients to kind of educate them on how you work? How do clients take that interaction when it moved from across the boardroom table to across the telephone and internet lines?
Yeah, we had to, you know, establish a set of expectations early on, and this was tougher in the early days. It's certainly gotten a lot easier in the last, you know, I don't know, 10 or 12 years as, you know, video conferencing technologies have gotten much better, and screen sharing tools have gotten much more mature and much lower cost. In the beginning, you know, we had some dedicated technologies and, you know, we could only do it with certain clients that had conferencing infrastructures in their boardrooms and things like that. And as we move more towards, you know, a less, technology, you know, less arduous technology tools and much more easy to use tools that were on really everyone's computer and everyone's laptop with just a, with a simply, you know, a screen, a cam, you can just pop it on your laptop or on a desktop computer. And then ultimately now it's really on everyone's laptop or iPad or whatever phone really for that purpose. It's made it much easier and much more accepted. And I think, you know, what we learned early on is that we had to just set expectations that we will be working, remotely. That didn't mean that we weren't going to do a thorough and accurate job and that we weren't going to get the job done. And, you know, we have regular touch points and communications on a cadence, with, our clients and with the folks who are working with across the table. For example, if it's a M&A transaction, we get to know them very well. And matter of fact, some of these people we know by voice only. I had sort of an interesting experience, probably 5 or 6 years ago where I had, I mean, obviously I'd seen the person on a video conference, but I heard the voice in the back of an elevator from a client. And it was actually on a cruise ship. And it turned out he and his family were on the same cruise ship I was on. And we had not physically met face to face. We'd only met over a video conference. So it was kind of interesting that we bumped into him, just completely serendipitously. And we, ended up having quite a good time kind of, meeting face to face in a more relaxed setting. But I knew him more by his voice than by his face. So I didn't notice him when I walked into the elevator. He was in the back of the elevator. I only realized it was him when he started talking.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a change to being on the same size. When you're starting out the process and you're starting to get to know people through this, through either online, virtually, on the phone, is there anything that you've done that is particularly helpful to put a little bit more humanistic spin on the interaction? You know, how do you present yourself as someone without that firm handshake?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a good question. I think you have to develop some other skills. I think you have to develop more critical listening skills than you may have to when you're in a face-to-face meeting. You know, and that's something that all, you know, leaders should do over time. They should really focus on developing their listening skills, because we often say in the industry, you know, selling is not telling, or, you know, you certainly have to be listening to understand, where someone is coming from. And so I think being able to develop, listening skills is super critical. I think beyond that, you know, using the video on a video conference is super valuable in connecting with people. Now, not everyone will use video. Not everyone wants to use video. And certainly most likely you'll be having far more, phone calls or IP based screen share or team meetings or GoToMeeting or WebEx or one of the, you know, million different tools that's available, Zoom, without video than you will have with video. But I think if you can be disciplined, particularly early in a relationship, to use the video, that helps to create a quicker, bond. And I think you do have to also take the opportunity to get out there. You know, I think it'll be more difficult now. Hopefully some of our industry events will become coming back in 2021 and beyond. And, you know, certainly, the more time you can spend, communicating or interfacing with people in a more casual setting, live, it helps, in the event that, you know, it helps build a reputation for who you are, even if you've never met some of these people face to face or one on one. And so I would recommend that, folks who are, working in the industry that they get out and do that as much as they can. Certainly the meetings that, you know, many of us have gone to, throughout the year are now becoming more virtual, and participating in those and turning on your video, is super important, I think, especially at the beginning of the relationship. And then ultimately, being able to develop those critical listening skills as you, continue to do your business remotely is important.
Sure. Mike, can you talk a little bit about the tool set that's needed, to help someone through the acquisition process? I've heard you use, some communication tools. We're familiar with, virtual deal rooms, VDRs, if you call them. We utilize some signature capture tools. Kind of what's in the tool set that someone needs to be using in order to move forward into remote work and getting a deal done virtually?
Well, that's a good question. I think ultimately all of the digital tools that you mentioned are critical. There's a lot of signatures on documents and a lot of document review. And so being able to have collaboration tools or portals or, you know, what I call one version of the truth, sites are very, very important. So everyone's looking at the same document at the same time, and you're not emailing large documents around and someone's not getting it at some point because of a technical glitch or you have some version problem. You know, you're all looking at the same documents at the same time. Doing screen share with document review is also pretty critical. So, you know, on a web conferencing tool, be looking at the same document. Don't assume that everyone's looking at the same document. That quickly becomes, is evident when you begin to look at documents, legal documents, because you can move much, much faster if just one person is presenting the document that everyone is looking at and getting agreement on. You know, digital signature infrastructure, as you mentioned, is absolutely critical, because there's, you know, non-disclosures to get signed and letters of intent to get signed and, you know, documents that require many, many, many signatures by lots of parties. And what we found is that versus the, old way, which where you would put everyone in a room, with multiple copies of final agreements to close an M&A transaction, and you would all sign them and pass them around the table. And, you know, that process could take hours. You can use the digital infrastructure or the signature infrastructure in a product like Right Signature, DocuSign, or, you know, some myriad of other products, and just send them to the signers in the appropriate order. And then once they're all signed, they distribute signed copies to everyone. That's so ubiquitous now that almost no one uses the old style of getting in a room and physically signing documents, and they haven't for many years. So even with people in the same city, it's very rare now to ever close a transaction that's not through using a tool like a digital signature infrastructure. So, you know, I think if I had to sum it up, I'd say it's certainly screen sharing tools and secure portal technologies and digital signature technologies. And, you know, and don't forget about the phone. Certainly there's a lot of interaction and discussion that goes on in negotiating a transaction, probably hundreds, if not thousands of interactions on each transaction. And you need to be able to have good, solid, phone technology and know how to use it, how to do conference calls, how to do web conferences, how to, you know, transition screen controls, how to be able to, you know, be the master of those tools in order to quickly enhance the communications efficiency.
Yeah, it's very true. It becomes a part of our everyday life. Now, it was interesting when COVID hit in March, it seemed like deals would be stalled, especially on the sell side because of road shows. No, they literally couldn't be on the road. And when a company was trying to come to market in the traditional way of doing some conferences or meeting places to get everyone together, was stalled when they stopped. What would you recommend a seller do now to promote their company when some of these traditional like roadshow type activities have stopped? Well, how do they have to adopt the sell side and M&A process when some of those traditional face-to-face roadshow type meetings no longer exist?
Well, certainly, you know, you have to have, I think, a competent advisor that can package your business for sale. Pretty important to use an advisor to do that. They typically have an infrastructure built, or a process, I should say, to document your business and show it in the best light to a potential buyer, and then do outreach and facilitate outreach to those individual buyers, sort of prioritize on a strategic fit, cultural fit, and financial fit basis. And, you know, being able to leverage a company that's what they do for a living is critically important. Certainly it's what we do for our clients when we represent a firm to the market for sale, and we'd certainly recommend that all of you find a partner that you can work with to do just that.
Yep, and that makes a lot of sense. And how do you think the due diligence process changes if you, for example, if you're doing a quality of earnings report, you know, what's the on-premise version and the virtual version look like?
Yeah, it certainly can limit the on-premise to little to none. We've done many QOVs that, or worked with QOV type partners that don't have to necessarily do an on-site visit, provided all the information for that QOV is provided in a virtual deal room or provided digitally, and they can validate that the accuracy of that information. Some of those processes have changed, frankly, for those QOV providers to be 100% virtual now due to COVID. Some had changed prior to that time. There's certainly many providers of QOVs that could do almost everything virtually. There was some spot checking they may want to do on site and on premise in the past that I think is going to be somewhat, if I had to predict, is going to be not done now. It's going to really be done almost all virtually, if not 100% virtually. But the importance is that the data hasn't, you know, is quality data, that it's been put together in a transparent way for the QOV provider, and it's easily accessible. And I think if all of those things occur, then it helps them do their job quickly, and they'll obviously have a lot of questions and want supporting documentation, and that's just part of their process. And as long as they can get access to all that in an easy and transparent way, they certainly get their work done completely remotely.
Sure. So it sounds like overall, we talk a lot about the risks in this process, but what I'm hearing is there is really those risks have been mitigated. It seems like there's a lot more social acceptance using remote technology, especially in light of COVID-19. Something where people, where they kind of were expected to meet each other face to face, no longer have that expectation, or at least the expectation culturally is a bit lifted. What are the other benefits that you've seen moving to a remote and virtual infrastructure?
Well, certainly the speed at which business gets done and the flexibility to operate more nationally and globally is enhanced. Because you think about the inefficiency of travel, whether it be domestic or international travel, there's a tremendous amount of inefficiency in that whole process. And as long as I've often said for many years, to steal a little comment from the Sci-Fi Channel, you have to be able to balance the time and space continuum, right? And the space continuum is much more about the physical presence and where you are at the time. And the time continuum has to be just managing the time zones. And if you can eliminate one of the two variables, in this case, the space continuum, you can operate much more quickly. There's no other way that we could operate, in the number of geographic zones, for example, that we operate in without these tools. Just wouldn't happen. Yesterday, I was, talking to people in, 15 countries or 13 countries. I lost track. In all the major time zones in the U.S., throughout a, 8-hour day. and interfacing with them and doing material work and screen share and that kind of thing. And, you know, some of those borders are closed, right? I mean, the U.S. borders closed to Canada and to Mexico right now. Some of those calls were in Canada and Mexico. We couldn't be transacting business with closed borders if we were forced to have a face-to-face, business meeting at this point. And the question becomes then, is it essential travel or not essential travel? And you kind of got to get into that, with the border protection folks and all that stuff. So you think about just the logistics of being in many, many different places in one, day, without the tools. You couldn't do that. It's part of why we implemented it, many years ago, was just to give us a flexibility to operate, literally anywhere. And because we work in a pretty narrow niche, in the world of IT services, our clients are, have historically been in, upwards of 30 countries and growing. And, without these tools, we certainly couldn't be as flexible as we are now.
Great. Great. Mike, you had mentioned meeting and meeting cadences. And I've often heard the phrase too, as well, this is a meeting, quote unquote, could have been an email. I'm curious. We use daily standups to actually counteract that, in which we don't have to document everything in email or other systems, because we're having very efficient and effective collaboration on a very daily basis. Now, what's an ideal cadence when you're starting to work with clients on, and how does that change when things become remote?
Yeah, I think, standing status calls are critically important with remote clients, even if there's not a lot to talk about. Because there's times when you just got to take the temperature of your client or have a conversation about progress on a project. And anytime you're managing sort of multivariant projects that have a lot of moving parts, as is, strategy transformation projects or M&A projects in the case of our business, you really have to do a very religious, regular check-in. And we find those to be weekly or every other week as being the cadence that works for us. Now, doesn't mean that's the only time you're talking to them. You're certainly emailing and having other ad hoc phone calls as they come up. But a standing status call is a catch-all for making sure that you do good housekeeping on the relationship, as well as on the project. And I think it's super critical to be able to keep the velocity of the project going.
Yep, that makes sense. Well, no, I appreciate talking to you about this today. And is there, again, any major advice? And can you just kind of recap, why this is possible today, where in the past it may not be possible, and how buyers and sellers should, and even people in GH and in consulting engagements, should really stick to home and remote offices more?
Well, certainly there's a quality of life issue that I think is important for people that work remote. Many of us spend a lot of time in commuting, and that's wasted time, essentially. If you can capture some of that back, even part of that time back, I think it's effective, whether that be commuting on an airline to a meeting or another office or, really anything else. I think that the ability to be more flexible as it relates to, having a deep communication with a fellow colleague or a client, with your tools, and having those tools readily available, which, we were able to do now with the types of connectivity we have available and phones and laptops, and that'll only increase over time, is super important. And so I would encourage everyone to embrace it and try it and, make sure that, in many ways, there's only so much, there's not much you cannot do. I guess that's a double negative, but there's not much that isn't possible via a remote infrastructure today. And I would encourage everyone to try to embrace it and look at it as a glass half full opportunity to enhance productivity, to enhance their addressable market, and to look at it as a way to just get a whole lot more done.
Well, great, Mike. That's all I got for today. Appreciate all the insight.
Great. Thanks, Ryan. with that, we'll tie a ribbon on it for this week. We look forward to next week's podcast, and I encourage you all to take a look at our website and at revenuerocket.com, as well as if you'd like some tidbits. We also have a fully populated YouTube channel. YouTube, just search Revenue Rocket. You can see some other bits of data you might find interesting in addition to our podcast. With that, we'll call it a day. Thanks.